Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose sacrificing love for us moves us to willingly sacrifice ourselves in service to him, dear fellow redeemed. Martin Luther once wrote, "You'll appreciate the sweetness of heaven more if you first tasted and experienced the bitterness of hell." If we apply that statement to our story this morning, our lesson, we'd say, you'll appreciate your forgiveness far more if you first experienced the great debt of sin you owe. The more we realize our sinfulness, the more we appreciate what Jesus had to endure to earn for us the forgiveness of all of our sins. There are two times that we find in the scriptures where Jesus had oil poured on him while he ate. The first time is in Luke chapter 7. It's about a year before his crucifixion. He's in Galilee. He's invited to a man named Simon, who is a Pharisee. And as he's at Simon's house, suddenly a publicly known sinful woman walks into the house and pours fragrant oil all over his feet. And with tears, she washes his feet and dries his feet with her hair. The Pharisee Simon says to himself, "If this man were a real prophet, he'd know what kind of woman that was that's touching his feet, and he would tell her not to do that." The Lord reprimanded Simon, and he said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The other time that this happened to Jesus is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and also in the Gospel of John. It took place on Saturday evening before Palm Sunday, just 6 days before Jesus was crucified. Jesus is now in Bethany. He's been invited to another man whose name is Simon. It's a pretty popular name. It was Simon the leper. And he's in Bethany. It's on Saturday evening. From John's Gospel, we're told that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus also were invited to this meal. And somewhere along the line during the meal, a woman, John tells us it was Mary, got up, broke her alabaster flask of ointment, spikenard, very expensive and very smelly, sweet smelling, and poured it on Jesus. What's this all about? Well, our theme this morning tells us. Again, remember that during these Sundays in Lent, our overall theme is Jesus says, "Assuredly," or "Verily, verily," or "I tell you the truth." And this morning is, "I tell you the truth, your fruits of faith will be remembered." Our first point, this faith of Mary showed itself in actions which are unashamed. Put yourself in Mary's sandals. Mary had known Jesus for quite some time. The first time you run into Mary is when she sat at Jesus' feet when he was speaking to her, and he's listening to his words, while her sister Martha was busy going around getting lunch ready. Remember how Martha then chided her and told Jesus, "Tell her to help me?" Jesus praised Mary for putting her priority right, listening first to his words. And Mary said, "Martha, Martha, you're concerned about so many things, but," he says, "one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Later, we're told, this is 3 or 4 months before today's event, Mary said to Jesus, "If you would have been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died." She knew if Jesus would have come sooner, he could have healed her brother. But Jesus did something even more amazing. He raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. Imagine her astonishment and her joy. And now it's 4 months later in Bethany. Jesus has come to Bethany because he's been telling his disciples, "I'm determined to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover for the last time." Several times in these last few months, he's been telling his disciples, "I must go to Jerusalem, but the Son of Man will be killed." And then he mentions, "and be raised again." So Mary has one more time to be able to see her beloved Lord and Savior, no doubt having been invited also to this supper. So as she prepares herself, she takes her alabaster jars, marble-like flask, with its contents of some very expensive spikenard, a whole year's wages worth. Today's would be several thousands of dollars. No doubt she's been saving it for a very special occasion. And that special occasion is today. In humble thanksgiving, in love to the Lord, for all that he's already done for her, and for what she knows he's going to be doing for her, she unashamedly gets up in Simon's house, walks over to Jesus, and pours his fragrant oil all over his head and all over his feet as he's reclining at the table. That leads us to our second point. This faith of Mary proceeded out of a thankful heart, knowing that Jesus was paying her debt of sin. Why did Mary use the whole flask? We don't know. But I believe it's because Mary realized the enormity of her sins, and she realized what Jesus had to endure in order to pay for her sins. She knew that Jesus was going to suffer and die to pay for her guilt and her punishment. And so she realized that nothing was too great of a sacrifice for him. She didn't use just a drop or two, as we do when we put cologne or perfume on our neck. She poured the whole bottle, 1 pound's worth, on her Lord. For this one, this Lord and Savior, was the one who changed her life. Was the one who's going to suffer and die and pay for all of her sins, who would shed every single drop of his blood upon the cross. So she dropped every drop upon Jesus' head, and then she humbly did it on his feet. And then we're told she wiped his feet with her hair. What an amazing act of love. Humble service. Thanksgiving and honor to Jesus, who in less than a week would have crown of thorns crushed into that head and nails pounded into those feet. The third point, this faith of Mary says Jesus has his own assurance of forgiveness and also remembrance. What a waste! That's what some of the people said. In John's gospel, especially Judas was the one who said, "What a waste, that could have been given to the poor." But Judas had ulterior motives. He was the treasure of the disciples. But we're also told, John says, he was a thief. If he could have gotten to Mary sooner and said, "Mary, don't waste it here. Give it to me. I'll sell it and then give the money to the poor," he could have embezzled a bunch of money. Was it a waste? Pouring thousands and thousands of dollars on Jesus' head and feet and it just kind of runs away? Well, let's listen to what Jesus says. But Jesus said, Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Jesus read Mary's heart. He knew that what she did was out of a loving, repentant heart. What she did was preparing his body for his upcoming death that Mary knew was coming soon. Jesus is saying, Mary knew I'm going to die for her. Mary prepared my body for this death. And he not only wanted that room to know, he wanted everybody in the world to know that. So whenever and wherever this scripture is read or taught or preached or heard, all honor and glory and praise would go to Jesus. But Mary would remember too. That's possibly one reason why John, who wrote many years after Matthew and Mark, told us who this woman was. Matthew and Mark just said, this woman. John clarifies, this woman was Mary, Martha and Lazarus' sister. And so she is remembered every time this text is read. Could Mary have done other good things with that alabaster jar of oil? Yeah, she could have. It would have been wrong for her to sell it and give it to the poor. It would have even been wrong for her to use it for herself or someone else. She chose to use it on the Lord. The point is, what other people think we should do isn't why we give or not give, or do or not do. We give and do for the Lord. And the Lord calls our gifts, be they great or small, big or little, he calls them a good work for me. Fruits of faith. Your fruits of faith are remembered by Jesus. And finally, it comes down to the reason for our giving. Giving of our time. Giving of our talents. Giving of our offerings. Is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth our sacrifice? Is he worth our offerings? Is he worth our service? The unbelieving world shouts, no way! Sometimes even our sinful heart says, no way. And every single one of us looking back upon our life would have to unashamedly say, sometimes even my thoughts, my words, my actions said, no way. It's not worth me sacrificing my time, my efforts, and my money, the Lord. And so we didn't. But when God's word, especially his law, confronts us and leads us to see our sins, and we repent of our sins, the word turns our eyes away from self and points to look at Jesus, our Savior, on the cross. We realize that he alone is worthy to be the Lord of our life. During this Lenten season, as we are hearing again the passion history of our Lord and Savior, we're reminded that it wasn't Mary who went too far in her offering, but Jesus. He went overboard. That which he broke was not an alabaster jar. He broke his body. That which he poured out was not just some expensive perfume. He poured out his lifeblood to the very last drop on the cross. When he said, Father, forgive them, that fragrance spread throughout the whole world. From his first cries in the manger to his agonizing cry upon the cross, he was telling the devil, the demons, and to all of his enemies, there is nothing too great a cost for me to give for mankind. He's telling you and me that he would go to the greatest cost, even giving his own lifeblood for you and for me. Nothing too great for him to sacrifice. That's how much Jesus loves each of us. Love gives. Love serves. Love does. But love is not love if it first calculates the cost. When the Holy Spirit leads us to meditate and appreciate our Savior's great love for us, something miraculous happens. Like Mary, we love without calculating the cost. We love because he first loved us. With smiles on our faces, with joy in our heart, we go and break our alabaster jars too. And, being less logical, we're more generous. Being less analytical, we're more compassionate. Being less self-centered, we're more Christ-centered. I mean, less concerned about what others think, we are anxious to honor the one who died for us. And as we see ourselves doing that, just know that it won't just be Mary whose works are remembered, but yours as well. Jesus says on Judgment Day, he will say, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. You gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you came and you clothed me. I was sick, and you back there, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And much of the time, we're not even going to realize we did not done that. Why? Because our eyes won't be focused on ourselves. Our eyes will be focused on Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself as a sacrifice for us. Jesus' great love drove him to the cross willingly. Jesus' great love kept him up on that cross even as he was being ridiculed. And Jesus' great love for you and me moves us in return to love him. And that's why when we survey his wondrous cross, as we just sang, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.